will, Steve.
All right. The late, great comedian Buddy Hackett, also known as Leonard Hacker, to his parents, all of his stories are hilarious, but one of the great ones is about the time that he buried a knife in his backyard, and the neighbor of his saw him burying the knife and thought that he was up to no good, called the police on him, and hilarity ensued. The reason Buddy Hackett was burying the knife was that it had become treif, and of course, when your dishes become treif, all you have to do is bury them. I think that was Buddy Hackett's line, that non-Jews have plants growing in their gardens and Jews have silverware in their gardens. So we're going to talk, most recently in an episode of the TV show Curb Your Enthusiasm, there was a storyline about burying plates in the back, plates that weren't kosher. So we're going to talk about, this is perhaps the most misunderstood, incorrect halachas that when it comes to the kosher kitchen, the halacha of burying your silverware. And this is the first of the common halachic myths that we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss what the real halacha is, and then we're going to discuss perhaps how it developed. The people think that when you treif of your silverware, all you have to do is bury them along with your ficus tree in the corner of your living room. And how long, all of these things we're going to talk about. Our adventure begins in the first source. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about what happens when you have knives that have nicks in them and that get something, let's say it's a fleshik knife, and you cut milchiks with it. So the Gemara says, Hasakin, and more specifically the Gemara is talking about a case where you purchase a knife from a non-Jew and the knife is treif, so how are you going to clean it off and be able to use it? So the Gemara says, Hasakin, Shafa v'hitahora. All you have to do is clean it, and it's ready for use. However, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ukva bar Chama says, No atza asara pa'amim bekarka. You should stab it 10 times in the ground. Why do you stab it 10 times in the ground? So Amar Rav Huna, the Pared Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna, the name of Rav Yeshua says, Uvekarka she'ena avuda. This is in ground that has not been plowed. It has to be hard ground. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Kahana, V'sakin yafa she'en bagumos. This is provided there are no nicks in the knife, that the knife is completely smooth and that no schmutz got into, right, or a sharp edge and not a serrated knife, right? Provided that nothing dirty got into any of the cracks and crevices of the knife. Similarly, we learn Tanya Namihachi, Sakin Yafa She'in Bagumos, a knife without any nooks and crannies, No Atza Asara Pamim Bakarka. You can stick it 10 times into the ground and it's ready to go. But then the Gemara says a very important caveat, and this is really the most important one, which is Amar Rav Huna Barej of Yoshua Lechol Ba Tzone. All of this discussion is as far as eating cold things. But eating hot things, what happens to eating hot things? If you have this knife and you want to slice a piece of hot pastrami, you have to kosher it like any other knife. So this may be where this misconception developed, and we're going to talk about this a little bit. Where do we get 10 times? Why do you have to, if you're cleaning it, why do you have to stab it 10 times? So Tosfos, right here on the page, says it doesn't have to be 10 times. In fact, the Yerushalmi says, The Yerushalmi says, how many times do you have to stab it? Three times, right? And so what do we see from here, says Tosfos? What do you think this teaches us? If the Yerushalmi says 3 times, the Babli says 10 times, right? So, mashma dehacha lav davka eser pamim. Doesn't actually have to be 10 times. You don't have it. Now, of course, if you stab it. So it may be that, taking in the broad scope, it means that you have to make sure that you stab it in the ground enough times that it's clean, or that it removed whatever layer there was on top of schmutz on top of it, and not that it actually has to be 10 times. Now, of course, if you're doing this, this should be attempted in the privacy of your own home, in your backyard with nobody else looking, or people will not think that you're stabbing the ground. People will think that you're stabbing a person in the ground. So clearly, it is not actually 10 times. Tulsa says it has to be approximately 10 times. However, mihu bidekamrin lekaman. Since later on it says that you have to stab the ground 10 times, then perhaps the dafka ka'amar Tosa says that maybe it's exactly 10 times v'yesh lahachmer, and therefore you should be careful to stab it in the ground 10 times. So this is already the first problem with this common halachic myth. A, that we'll see whether you even have to do this. So we have actually had two problems. First of all, that this does not apply to treif dishes, it applies to what?
Silverware.
And what more?
Cold dishes.
The dirty dishes, right? Not, yeah.
Define cold. Hot, warm. That's more problematical. When something's kosher, it's not kosher.
So that's an excellent point. Let's say that for the purpose of our discussion, hot dishes, in order for something to be an agent of transference of treifness, right, it has to be what's called yad selegisbo. And there's a debate as to what the exact temperature of that is, but that's quite hot. But here we're talking about actually cold water, and cold water. Don't have to give an actual. You know what cold water is, and we're talking about cutting a cold piece of cheese with a fleishig knife, for example, that kind of thing. So far, what have we seen? The A, this stereotype is wrong, this myth is wrong because it applies to silverware. B, because it only applies to cutting things that are cold. And C, sharp, we haven't talked about that. When you say sharp, you mean sharp taste? So that we'll actually leave aside for the moment. That's a halacha called Davar Harif. Very good. Very, very good, Mrs. Chanowitz, but we're going to leave that alone. And the other thing, I don't know if anybody knows this, is that what do people do when their dishes become crepe? They stick it in there and it becomes part for a few days, right? So here, the Gemara said, what do you have to do?
Has to be plowed ground?
No, it has to be hard.
Hard, so I didn't put the dish in. You can't put the dish in the hot ground.
You did.
You have to plow it.
No, it did. It's not with the knife.
Whatever you're doing with silverware, not with
the knife.
No,
that was
the dish is not.
It doesn't work with silverware. It doesn't work with
dishes at all.
Depends which one. Depends which ones.
Oh,
so that maybe that's another myth that we'll talk about.
I don't want to interrupt, but I think just one more thing. The reason is 10 times, maybe Chazal thought, but the world was created in 10.
So you have to stab the ground 10 times?
So you have to stab it 10 times.
That's
to accommodate for
that is excellent homiletically. I don't know if you like it, then good. I think interesting. It's very interesting.
Yes. It's interesting because years ago when we first came to America, we used glass dishes.
Glass is something else entirely. Glass, forget glass for now. We're not talking about glass. Forget glass. We're talking about knives. We're talking about knives, right? We're talking about silver. And the final one is that people leave their knives in their potted plant in the corner, or their forks, for days on end. And here, we're talking about stabbing the ground. So let's talk a little bit more about that. So Rashi says, le'achol batzonein. This refers to eating cold things, the third source. Avaldava roteach. But if it's something that's hot, Aser lachtoch ba ad sheyag ilena berotchen. You're not allowed to cut with it until you boil it in hot water. This is based on a principle that we have in halacha. Anybody know the name of the principle? I wouldn't. If you know it, then you get many, many points. The principle is kibol o kach polto. That in the same way that the taste is swallowed, that's the same way that the taste has to be removed. So if you want to cut something hot and you're using a tray dish, a knife that you bought from a non-Jew in this case, so if you want to cut something hot, then you have to kosher it. You have to kosher it in boiling water. Ukli rishon kedam rinan bechol shal inyan chametz pesach. So we'll leave that alone. Has to be in a kli rishon in general in a primary pot that you're boiling on the oven on the stove. I'm sorry, and that's of secondary concern.
It's interesting
for what
we're that done. It says the water has to be boiling and not yet, so let us pop.
Correct. Because that's true, because for a kashering, for Akala, water does have to be, it has to be in a rolling boil. I think the general assumption is that that's when the water reaches the point of Yatzalet. But that's a good point. Now, so let's move on. A little bit later on, go ahead.
What you're talking about is the way you want to use the knife after it has been kashered. If you want to use it in the future for cutting hot pastrami, or are you talking about when it got trafed originally, it got trafed by cutting it to something that was hot?
Ah, so that's a very, very good question. What we're talking about here now is a knife that is trafe, right, that you want to use. You bought it from your local knife dealer, and you go ahead.
So you haven't trafed it up, other than having
you have not trafed it up yourself.
It's not that you accidentally used the knife that you reached and you got the wrong knife, and you used the knife.
But even that,
from the millithink drawer to cut the roast beef.
Right now, but even that we're talking about here. Even if that happens, you can do this method to cut cold things. This is what we're saying. If you bought the knife from someone who is not kosher, right, and you're using it to cut cold cheese or cold pastrami, right?
Then you can use this method.
So far. Yeah, go ahead.
When you say you bought the knife from someone not kosher...
Nowadays, this doesn't really happen.
No, right. You're actually talking about reusing a knife that was previously...
Nowadays, right.
So
correct.
Our
or using a knife that was previously trafed up by you or somebody...
Or an accidental, you took the milk from the place you're getting...
Right, that's right.
And it sounds like the whole thing of putting it in the ground is just... If it's an emergency and you have the rolling knife and you have to cut the cheese, you stab it 10 times and then
the question
you have to actually kosher it.
Well, right? So we're going to talk about that. The question is this an acceptable method lechatchila? In other words, can you rely on this every time, or is this something that you should only do under duress and you should actually have two sets of knives?
Well, my question is...
And your question is...
If it's about what your cutting needs to be cold, not hot, mm-hmm. I don't have a little sticker that says for cold. I've got milk, lishik, and par. So
that's
that
right.
That knife is not kosher
right.
to be used by everyone and anyone who takes it out of the lishik drawer.
Right.
It needs to be captured in water.
Right, that's right.
Because no amount of plant... growing
now the other
otherwise
thing,
makes
right now the other thing that's worth pointing out at this point is that let's say you use your knife, mm-hmm. right, you have a fleshic knife and you cut cheese with it, milk and cheese, and everything was cold, so your knife is not trafe. That's also important to point out.
That's just an accident. And what do you do in that case?
Clean it off
and move on.
Right, and this is one of those situations this is perhaps why this developed, because people realized you have to clean off your knife because you can't just keep using it. There is, it's a milchik knife or fleshik knife, and there's milchik schmutz on it, So this is how perhaps the application began to develop. The Ne'itza, this is what it's called, Ne'itza, right? Sticking it into the ground is meant, what's the ground meant for?
Abrasion.
Exactly, a scouring agent, right? So people would stick it into, so people would stick it into the ground, and they would think that, I don't know what, enzymes work, if you stick it in the ground for a few days, the bacteria will rust your knife, and now we have...
I suspect that that's where some of this is coming from, that there are several scenarios. You could have bought a new knife. Theoretically, you could have bought it from a Jewish dealer, but I suspect that the Mekedem, more often than not, you bought it from a non-Jewish dealer.
Right.
You could have bought a used knife from somebody.
Right.
Or you could have mixed up one of your own and made the wrong cut.
Right.
Buying a new knife, I believe there is no presumption that that was a clean knife, because it could very well have come into contact purposely with grease of some sort, because we didn't have stainless steel.
Right. Another thing that's worth pointing out, there was actually, several months ago, there was an article in the New Yorker about knife smiths. Actually, you wouldn't think, but it was really a fascinating article about the technology and the artistry that goes into crafting a knife. And you have to test it. You can't just make a knife, you know, we're now registering. So you can't just register for it. Now you have to get the hand feel of how, right? So you need to see how it functions. So presumably they were cutting things to determine whether this is an effective knife or not. And that's why we're concerned about these things. So
they may have covered it with a coating of oil to protect it, because they didn't do stainless steel, so they could very easily have become corroded rust.
Right.
And that would have protected it.
Right.
That's
a different story, though. Teufeling is not related to this.
Buy from a goy.
You have to title it anyway. We're not talking about it.
Not
so one related issue is that originally cast iron pots came with nothing, no coating inside. You made your own coating.
You seasoned it right yourself.
Today there's an issue of they are starting to merchandise them with what you would theoretically think was some sort of a Teflon. It's not Teflon. And there's a question of what the use
right,
is.
Right, so that's a different
but
subject.
The fact that it's a pot, it's still, the question here is the metal may have had the same issue that made it.
Except that the whole issue of burial does not apply to pots.
No, I'm talking about the pot. I'm just saying that...
I mean, people think it does. That's why this is a common halakhic myth.
They were actually, you were stabbing
it. You were stabbing it. That's the...
scouring than a burial.
Exactly. There's no... Burial does nothing. If you... That's the other thing. If you stab your knife... If you leave your knife in your ficus tree in the corner for a week, it doesn't do anything. You have to... It's this repetitive stabbing motion that is what is the cleaning agent. Go ahead.
In your scenario where you took your cold flesh knife and cut a cheese,
yeah,
and we said the knife was still kosher as long as you wipe it off.
Right.
What about the cheese? If you hadn't wiped the knife off, the cheese is still kosher. If you wouldn't have residue about on the knife.
Cheese is fine too.
Maybe there was a meat residue on the knife.
Well, then you have a problem. But let's say your knife is clean. We're talking about a clean, cold knife. Now your knife has filled with schmutz, but before that, and even if there was, if it was cold, you just cut off that part of it.
Probably. What about handles?
What about handles? We're not talking about
handles.
Wooden handles are another problem entirely, which we deal with every year around Pesach time when people get very upset. But let's move on. So a little bit later on, the Tur quotes this, and he quotes his father, the Rush, the Balaturim, the son of the Rush, one of the great Rishonim. So, Zeh Hiskim Adoni Avi Harash, Zal Sakinim Yeshanim Hanikchin Min Anochrim, right? Old knives that had been previously used. Bein Gedolim Bein Ktanim, whether they are the large carving knives or the small paring knives, whatever it is. Im Bali Yishtamesh Behen Bitzonein, if you want to use them to cut cold things, no atzah yud ta'amim v'karka kasheh v'dayo. You stab it 10 times in hard ground, and then you're done. O shafa b'mashcheza shel nefachim heitev al pnei kula. Or, he says, sharpen it on a sharpening stone, right? That blacksmiths use. Yeah, you're really removing it, right? But you have to do. But you have to do the entire knife. He says, not just the blade. Normally, when you sharpen a knife, you're only sharpening the blade. But here, if you're sharpening to remove that layer of schmutz, you have to sharpen the whole thing. You have to. They have these, right? Well, not the hand. Maybe. But one second. Now you know that they have these. They have this van, the trucks, right? And they. And they prey upon our ignorance by saying that they have a kosher sharpener, right? Yeah, you never seen this? No. Could they have a kosher sharpener?
I thought that had come by. I never looked. I assumed you.
Yeah, not.
Can't take your knives there and never look. Rings a bell.
Oh yeah, okay. Anyhow, so Upirish Harama, Rav Meir Halevi, one of the other Rishonim, Shebichol Pam Noetz Bekarka Kasheh, that every time you have to stab it in hard ground, the Lo Yena Atina B'Makom Shenaatz B'Pam Rishona. And you should be careful not to stab it in the same place that you stabbed the first time. Each time you should stab somewhere else, right? Because once you stab it,
stab your pen 10 times. If you only have one dot, I will be amazed.
So,
that's okay.
We're talking about, stab you in your ficus plant in the corner in 10 different locations, right? It has to be hard ground each time. And every time that you stab it, it becomes softer. So you have to be careful to stab it in each place, each time in a different place, because the most important thing is that the ground act as a scouring agent to remove all of the residue and all of the remnants of the schmutz that might have been left on from the previous owner. And again, we stress that this is to cut what? Sonane. Cold things. Your thing, you look like yesterday.
Years ago, we didn't have the detergents. Detergents now.
I
cleaned it better than the ground stamp.
So we're going to talk about that. I should just go home.
Can I say, let's say I have a bunch of knives, the carving knives and all this.
Yes.
Set of knives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I can use them for either fishing or milking if it's cold.
So this is, at this point, hold on.
What I'm asking you, what I get from you.
That's why you should not go home right now.
I don't have one anyhow.
Okay, but see, you should not leave this class at this very moment in time, or else, sorry? We'll talk about why it's not
a... People won't go to your house to eat.
It depends whether you're serving hot or cold.
Right, that's right. So you're serving cold. So let's say that at this point, in principle, the answer is yes. In principle. Right?
You're not supposed to do it, no?
Sorry?
You're not supposed to do it.
Oh, so we'll see why, right? Says it comes along Rabbeinu Tam, the grandson of Rashi, in addition to his comments that are quoted throughout Shas in Tosfos, he also wrote a work called the Sefer HaYashar, which is half an ethical treatise, which he really wrote during the period of the Crusades. And half is a halachic work. So he says, Ulehishtamesh mihen bitsonein, zeh bezeh daylahen v'neitza yud pamim bakarka. You could use it for each denomination as long as you stab it in the ground, the lo davka ne'itza, and it doesn't have to even be stabbing. Like we said, you sharpen it with a sharpening stone, and everything is great. This is Rabbeinu Tam's opinion as well. comes along with the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Alokeach sakin mina akum, melabina ve'esh umashchiza berechayim shela." Let's say that you buy a knife from a non-Jewish person. So melabina ve'esh. So you can either kasher it through in the fire, right? This is one of the ways of kashering. And it's interesting to note that this is a valid way of kashering, no matter, I mean, we're not talking about the handles and whatever, but even if the method of kashering was through liquid, you're allowed to kasher through fire, right? Because you're always allowed to kasher something in a more strict manner than the manner that it was, that it became treif. This is what's known as libun, right? There's libun, which is the application of a fire, and there's hagala, which is in water. So libun is considered to be the more severe, the more strict form of kashering. So something that needs to be kashered through agala is allowed to be kashered through libun. So he says, either you run it through the fire, or strip it in the, sharpen it with the stone. Imhayisa sakin yafa she'ein ba pegimos. Now let's say this was a knife that was very beautiful, and it's completely, it's normal, right? There are no cracks and crevices and rust and everything else, and it's not serrated, right? Dailo im na'atza bekarga kasha eser pa'amim, stab it in the ground 10 times, ve'ochel batzonim, and then you can eat cold things that have been cut with it. Now note that the Rambam does not say anything about the, like the Tur does, about how you have to stab it in different locations, because he's concerned about the ground, right? The Rambam just says that if you stab it 10 times, it's all good. And the Rambam also doesn't have, or the Rambam actually does have, agrees with Rabbeinu Tam, that you can either strip it, or you can stab it in the ground 10 times. So here we have a preponderance of Rishonim that are telling us this idea of ne'itza, stabbing in the ground 10 times. Now, one second. Says the Lecha Mishneh on the Rambam, the last line, second to last line, that there is a contradiction between what the Rambam says here and what the Rambam says in his commentary on the Mishnah. Avo mitvarav v'perash ha-Mishnah. Second line, the next source, the Lecha Mishnah, second source from the bottom. The third line from the bottom, avo mitvarav v'perash ha-Mishnah. Right? From the Rambam's explanation in his commentary on the Mishnah, lo mashmakein. Elashu mefarish sheshava, right? Smoothing it out, cleaning it out, ratza lomar, ne'itza eser pamim v'karka, that smoothing it is stabbing it in the ground 10 times. It's not that you have the option one or the other. Here the Rambam gives you a choice. You can either sharpen it, or you can stab it in the ground 10 times. But there in the Perish HaMishnah, the Rambam says that cleaning it off means stabbing in the ground 10 times. You have no other choice. Umash Shekasav, O Mashchiza. Now, when the Rambam says that you're allowed to sharpen it with the sharpener's stone, who misvaraso? That was his own internal logic. Why? She'ein l'chatikun yafa mimenu. That was he made this up himself. Why? There's no better way to clean off a knife than smoothing it out with a sharpener stone. The top layer is removed and everything is great. This is the best way to clean off a knife. The Ayin Beis Yosef Kisham Amar Al Kol says. So the Beis Yosef discusses this at great length. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Mi she'achal gvina v'rotzeh le'echol basar. Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya Peitas. This is what Elza was talking about. Let's say now, you have a knife, one of those really excellent knives, and it really cuts everything, right? And it's too good to be dedicated to one denomination, right? So, mi she'achal gvina v'rotzeh le'echol basar. Now, let's say you had milchik, And now you want to eat a fleishik meal, right? So normally, right, or what do you have to do? Right, you're allowed to have milfiks, fleishiks, right after milfiks, right? It happens all the time. Now, tzarech levaer me'al hashulchan, shiyuri pash shachalo ingvina. You have to remove all of the bread that you ate with the cheese, right? The asur le'achol gvina al mapa shachlu ba basar. Not only that, yeah, you have to switch tablecloths. You can't eat it on the same tablecloth. Yes, you have a question. Elza, I was talking to you.
No,
you looked like you had a question. Okay. The chain lehapech asur, and certain, and the other, the Rama writes the other way around as well. Now, obviously, when you're having meat, so you're not going to eat milk right away, but you can't. You also cannot have a dairy meal on the same tablecloth as you've had, or the same placemat as you've had a meat meal.
Even if it's cold?
Yeah. The chol shekein. The chol shekein, and certainly, says the Mechaber, she'asur lach tol gvina, afilu tzodenet, even cold cheese you're not allowed to cut, b'sakim sheregilin lach tol basar, with a knife that you are accustomed to using to cutting meat. Right? So that's why I told you not to go home yet. Because the Mechaber writes this black on white. If you have this knife, it's too good. It doesn't work. If you used it for fleishiks, it stays fleishiks, and you can't use it to cut milchiks, because this ne'itza method, it's almost too good to be true, right? So when do we use it? V'lo od ela afilu ha'pasha ochlim im ha'gvina asur lachtof b'sakin shecholchim b'basar. The Mechaber takes it one step further. The bread that you used, you had a loaf of bread that you used to eat with milchiks, you're not allowed to even cut that bread with a knife that is used to cut fleishiks. Comes along the Rama, v'chein lehepech nami aser, the other way around is also prohibited. Mihu al yedei ne'itza bekarka kasha shari. If you stabbed it in the hard ground, this is the Rama adding this on. It's not the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, even though normally the Mechaber decides like the Rambam about 80% of the time, here he seems to be saying against the Rambam. It would seem from the Rambam that you could rely on this method, right? As long as you straighten it out, as long as you, sharpen it or whatever, you stick it in the ground, it's okay. Says the Rama, really, it's okay. And this is actually what the Mechaber writes earlier on in his work in the Beis Yosef. So why is it that he writes over here that you're not allowed, right? That you should not use a fleishik knife to cut milchiks, to cut cold cheese? Avo parnagu kol Yisrael liyos lahem shnei sakini. Everybody has the minhag to have two different kinds of knives. And to clearly delineate which ones are milchiks and which ones are fleishiks, so that you will know which is which. And the minhag is to indicate which one is milchiks. And since this is the widespread, prevalent custom, we are not allowed to deviate from it and use only one knife. One of my rebbeim once applied this as follows. What's the international color for milchiks?
Blue.
Blue, right? What's the international color for red, right? Let's say you decide that in your kitchen, red is going to be milchiks and blue is going to be fleishiks. You're not supposed to do that.
You're not supposed to?
Yeah, because your guest comes and you tell, and you're a good host and you say, help yourself. The milchiks is here, the fleishiks is there, right? And in every other kitchen in the Jewish world that keeps kosher, blue is milchiks and red is fleishiks. And in your kitchen, you decide that you want to be an iconoclast and red is going to... So what's going to happen? Your guest takes advantage of your hospitality and traves up all your dishes. Right? So this is...
Towels too.
And,
dish towel. What dish towel?
Okay, you wash.
You can wash your dish towel.
Wash
your dish towel.
The bluey keep always for the dairy.
Exactly. That everybody does, right? Or some blue-like color, right? That's yeah.
Oh, green and yellow. Question about the whole: if you cut the bread with dairy knife, you then can't cut with a fleischer knife.
Yeah.
Now bread gets cut with bread knives. If you're into knives,
right?
Bread gets cut with bread knives. That's granted. And you've got your challah knife, which you're using on Shabbos, and you may have a bread knife, but do you need a milk knife?
So this also is applicable to, this is also important as far as bread that was eaten with a fleishik meal.
Wait, what?
If the bread is dairy.
If the bread is par.
That's a problem. Dairy bread is another problem.
That's a different issue. If you take par bread and you cut it with your
parv knife, right, and you have it in a...
And then, suddenly you have leftover. One big French toast with that challah. You can't. You have to use a French challah to make...
That's right. That's right.
If you use... Your menagis
is now, we're talking about the cut pieces, not the remainder of the challah.
But you said
But we're not even talking about that at all.
Okay, because the thing with what you said, but I heard you reading the Machos.
I did, yeah.
Was if you cut the bread with a milchik knife, you then cannot cut that bread even with a flake.
That's right,
knife.
That's right. That's correct.
Now my question has become, just for a second, did the bread, the whole
we're talking, I understand that bread is cut in general with
bread.
Right. But let's say you did it. You cut it with your, yeah. It does.
The whole bread.
You treat it
as bread. The whole challah is
no, whatever is cut. Whatever is cut.
Oh, just
the cut piece. The cut piece. No, no, no. You haven't touched it.
But we're
getting off topic.
You got a half a loaf of challah left over.
Right.
Okay. To cut the first piece off that challah.
Use a bread knife.
With a different knife.
Yeah.
Use
a par of knife.
Flashing knife has been.
Use a par of knife.
Use a par of knife.
Par of knife. Use a par of knife.
And throw that piece away.
Or eat it with, or eat it, whatever you want. There's no problem.
It's like what the children are saying, though. I mean, you're supposed to have cheese, but if you did by mistake use your flesh knife, is the cheese? Can you eat the cheese?
Let's go. That's right. Let's go the other way. So no, you're saying ikra din. Really, you could do this, except that now the minhag is, and this is a smart idea. Meaning there's a reason that everybody has adopted the custom to have two knives, because administratively it's much easier than using the same knife back and forth. And since everybody does it this way, you should not decide that you're going to do things differently and you're going to have one knife. Says the Shulchan Aruch later on, Simon Kuf Kabbalah, right? Sakin Yashan. Let's say you have an old knife of yours. Or let's say not of yours. One that you bought an old knife in a yard sale or whatever it is. My barber back in Rochester collects samurai swords. So to make it interesting, you decide that you want to buy, you have this vintage samurai sword that you bought. Sorry?
Then I would cut your ear.
You be the judge of that. I haven't seen him in a long time. So, Sakin Yashan, Bein Gadol, Bein Katan, whether it's a big samurai sword or whether it's a Swiss army knife, right? Hanikach na Ove Kochavim, bought from an idol worshiper or from a non-Jew. Imba Lishtamesh Betzone, you want to use it for cold things. Im ein bagumos. Now, if there are no holes in it, right, no cracks, no atza asara pamim bekarka kashet, stab the hard ground 10 times. And now, this time, he does quote the Torah. V'tzarich shekom itza v'nitza tiye bekarka kashet, l'fikach lo yin otz makom shenat neitza acheres. Quoting the Torah, every stab has to be in hard ground, and therefore you should make sure not to do so in the same place that you did the previous stab. And this, Mrs. Chanowitz, is where your very astute observation came in.
V'afilu lachtoch bo davar charif k'motznon sagi behachi. Now there is a, we're not going to really get into it today, but it's halacha that many people are aware of, that if you cut something sharp with a denominational knife, it becomes that denomination. Because we say that the sharp taste, davar harif, right, reawakens, no matter how long you haven't used the knife, right, it awakens the taste, as it were, that is swallowed up into the knife, and therefore you're not allowed to use it. So for example, this, if you have a parv cutting board, and the reason is what we call duchka de sakina, the force of the knife, it awakens the absorbed taste. So let's say you have a cutting board that you would like to remain parv. And I have been yelled at by my mother on at least two occasions for doing this. My mother's beloved parv cutting board, I was cutting an onion with a knife that I didn't realize was fleishigs. So, and of course, the onion now is fleishigs, but now the cutting board became fleishig as well. All because of the principle of davar harif, right, combined with duchka de sakina, the force of the knife. But this is the amazing chiddush, the amazing interpretation of the Mechaber, that so lenient is this, are we with this principle of ne'itza bekarka, that if you buy this knife from a non-Jew, and you stab in the ground 10 times, you're even allowed to use that knife to cut things that are sharp, as you had said originally, because normally you would think that that doesn't work, because this is actually a treif knife. And if you cut sharp things, the treif knife, what do they become? Normally, treif. But once you've stabbed in the ground 10 times, then there is no problem, says the Mechaber. This comes along the Rama and says, "Ulishtamish bo bikviyus lo gara mishar klish noagin lahagil apilutzone." So the question is, can we do this all the time? Why shouldn't we be able to do this all the time? We won't have to kosher any of our knives and boil them and all those things. Let's just use this knife all the time to cut cold things, even dvarim harifim, sharp things, right? Says the Rama, no. Because once you're using it for on a regular basis, this is a one, as Yossi said, this is a one-off thing, right? But once you start using it on a regular basis, then you can't get away with it anymore. Then you have to start, then you really have to kosher it like normal, even if you're only using it to cut cold things, you still have to kosher it like you would kosher anything else. V'im yesh ba gumos, shotze lachtoch ba chamin, o lishchot ba. Let's say it has crevices in it, and you want to cut it, you want to cut hot things, or you want to perform shechita with this knife. It's, right? Now we.
It is definitely
awesome. Because we say the blood is hot, right? That's
a. It has to be a sharp.
So we're not talking about serrated knives. We're not right. Either serrated knives or you want to cut hot things.
Regular knives may not have any more.
That's right.
A little edge.
Shochtim. Right, your father was a shochet, right? So shochtim, they do the. I don't know.
With the thumb.
There you go, with the thumb, right? So to determine if there are any nicks, and if you've been doing this for long enough, you develop an extreme sensitivity for even the slightest nick in the knife. So he says, now let's say you want to use this knife for shechita or whatever. Again, either you do libun, apply heat to it, extreme heat, right, or you sharpen it, the entire thing. V'yesh omrim dehashchaza mehani rak lachtoch batzonein avalol inyan chandamin v'hachi nog lechatzila. Says the Rama that nowadays, you know, regardless, we say that that for cutting cold things. This is the only time that this heter of sharpening the knife works is if you're using cold things to cut it, not if you're cutting cold things, not if you're cutting hot things. And this is the way you, and this is the way we paskin. Let's skip. We'll skip the shach. Although, let's just look at the last line, the last two lines of the shach. In that source, Rav Shavsai ben Meir HaKohen, the shach lived in the during the Cossack raid, and lived most of his life on the run. The fact that he was able to write his super commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, he did it on scraps of paper and bunkers, and most of his adult life was, and he had actually quite a tragic life. His son went missing, and he went back looking for him. He couldn't find him. So the Shach wrote all of this while he just, it really boggled the mind, but he wrote all of this while he was a fugitive. Writes the Shach, third line from the bottom, the Chol Zeh Medina. All of this is very nice, and all this is true when we say Me'ikar Hadin. According to the strict, technically it's correct. Aval Kvar Nagu Kol Yisrael Lios Lahem Beis Sakinim. Everybody now has milchik silverware and fleishik silverware and milchik knives and fleishik knives, and that's it. And that's what you are supposed to do. Harav Bahaga. And as the Ramah wrote, as we discussed the Ramah earlier. But as Yosti mentioned, let's say you're like the Shach and you're on the run. Maybe he had two different knives. But let's say you only have one knife. It's a shas hadchak. You're in a difficult situation. It says the shach uveshas hadchak she'ein lo sakin acher. You only have one knife, and you want to cut some cold cheese, and your knife is fleishik. So mukmin la adina. So then we can rely on this ikar hadin, this technically correct interpretation, and realize that this is a bidyeved one-off situation. And you're allowed to do that in situations like this. Yes.
Yossi first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My question was this magical process of standing in the earth. Is it just cleaning off the knife, or is it a transformative process where you're creating a new type of knife? And the difference being, if you do it on Shabbos, you know, is there a problem?
I never thought about the Shabbos. You're cleaning off the.
Is it cleaning the knife, or is it making it?
Cleaning the knife. We don't describe Kabbalistic. It's not. There's no transubstantiation of the knife. You know, when you stick it in the.
So there's no halacha issue or creation issue.
No, so it may be, there may be issues of metake and kli. In other words, if you're koshering a treif dish, it might be a make b'patish, and it's something that you couldn't use before, and now you can. That may be a Shabbos. We're not going to talk about that, but it's an interesting point. It's not there, but there are no mystical, Kabbalistic things that happen.
The
repetitive stabbing motion in the earth. The bacteria thing, that's probably how the idea of leaving it in the ground for a few days developed. People who didn't understand the need, the concept of ne'itza, figured that if you leave it, just as when you leave, Rahman's on a person in the earth, the things start happening to. So too, you leave a knife, the knife starts to change also, the bacteria will work on it. So that's not really the reason why. The reason is the repetitive stabbing motion.
It's fine. What shock is that you can put that knife hold 10 times.
So the question is right. Yeah, that's what it seems.
According to
continues the Aruch HaShulchan. Yes.
It's fine.
Just remind me of your name, please.
Zeb.
Hi, Zeb. Okay. Meaning when you're stabbing it in on Shabbos. Very good.
It's not plowing, there's no attempt to plow.
We'll talk. So that's a whole different ball. So you have to make sure that in koshering your knife, you're not transgressing an actual av melacha. Like, not many people. It's hard to transgress actual avos melacha these days. But you can. You have to make sure not to do that. Otherwise, you're really missing the forest for the trees. Or for the knives.
Violating the
animals. Well, I'm not touching that. Oh my goodness. I am not touching that. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Davar Pashudhu She'asur Lachtok Fina. This is Yechiel Michel Halevi Epstein in the Bardic in the 19th century. In Lithuania, it says it's clear, it is obvious, that you're not allowed to cut cheese, even cold cheese, with a knife that you're not, that you normally use to cut meat, velo od. And not only that, ela afilu hapash ochlim binas, asur lachtoch besakim shechotkin bo basar. Right? This is what we said before. The bread that you eat with dairy, you're not allowed to cut with a fleishik knife. Not that apart. Fleishik knife. Mishum, why? Lefishlif amim hasakinim shumano shel basar karush alehem ukshekhot chinapas nidbato. Sometimes there's shmutz left on the fleishik knife, and then you cut the milchik knife, and then and everything will get mixed up. Lachain, and therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, im mekaneach hasakin eitev, you clean off the knife well, right? Mutar, so then you're allowed to. The kol shekein shayadei ne'itza v'karka kasha mutar. Certainly, if you stab it in the ground, it's okay. V'zehu hakol le'inyan halechem. But that's as far as the bread is concerned. The lola inyan hagvina atzma. But not as far as the cheese itself is concerned. You still should not cut the cheese, the cold cheese, after having cut the fleishiks, even if you stab it in the ground. Ela im haya v'dieven, unless it's in a situation of duress. Aval echad chila, lachtoch, hagvina, besakin, shal basar, aser b'chol inyan. You're not allowed to cut cheese with a fleishik knife. The huadin lehevich. Similarly, the other way around. The sakin shel chalav lachtoch bo basar. A milchik knife to cut fleishiks. O lechem lechol bo basar. Or bread to eat meat with it. Chava hadin kimosh nisbar besakin shel basar lachtoch bo bina o lechem. It's the same thing as a fleishik knife cutting bread with it. Lechol im chalav. Farnagu kol Yisrael yoslem shnei sakinim, echad shal basar ve'echad shal chalav. Nowadays, everybody has separate sets of dishes, and they have separate knives. One of milchiks, and one of fleishiks. V'gam halechem shochlim basar chotchim v'sakin shal basar. And similarly, if you're having bread that you only eat with fleishiks, you'll cut it with a fleishik knife, or you have a bread knife. But
I know this is going to sound silly, but if you use a challah knife, only on challah, on a challah board that only has challah, even though you usually eat it with fleishiks, that knife is par. It never cuts anything but par bread. Shouldn't that knife be par? Doesn't that challah remain par? Isn't the whole thing par?
That you're probably correct, except that the pieces we view...
Not what you cut put on the table with your meal.
Right. That's like, that's fleishik. Those pieces are fleishik.
It's par if you use a bread knife just for par of bread.
Right. I think so. But again, you have to be careful because...
You put it down on a table.
When you're putting it down, you put your knife down every week on your table with a fleishik meal.
Then it's fleishik?
No, it's not fleishik. Go ahead.
Would you understand this method of stabbing 10 times between kosher and kosher? Does it apply to Pesach, Chametz, not? Can you use the same method for something?
No, more machmir.
Why not? You would think that.
Oh, so we'll tell you. That's actually a good. It's a very, very good question. But in general, right? Let's.
Why you can make something not, you know, if it's Pesach, use it for Pesach by stabbing it in the ground 10 times. It's a lesser degree than something that's not kosher.
Are you only using it on machmiris?
The custom will say.
Right, that's a good question. So maybe another time we'll get into the difference between kashering for Pesach and kashering from Trey for not. But that's a halachic, not a myth. It's just a halachic topic. Let's just talk about one last issue. All this was talking about the ground, but there's got to be an easier way. Not everybody has rubber plants in the corner of their, you know, living room or whatever, their potted plants that they can kosher. So are there any other Irving mentioned, right? Detergents, right? Scouring, steel wool.
Ajax. Which is supposed to be the abrasive.
The powder
in the earth.
The powder, right?
Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah, so it does...
You don't have to boil it?
Boil.
No, I mean... The
stab it.
If you don't have the
kosher... We're talking about the stab, right?
If you don't have...
So, maybe, it may be. Well, maybe there's another way. Comes along the Papa Rav, Rav Yosef Greenwald, Shilus Tshuvas Vayan Yosef, Uve Inyan E Moil Kinuach Bestil Wool. Says it in those words, right? Look at the steel wool.
There's no Irish word for it.
Yeah, steel
wool. Right? Right? So, b'makom b'mkom ne'itza b'karka. Does steel wool work instead of stabbing it in the ground? Al pisvara near et dehavik mo karka kasher. Seems like it should be the case that it is like hard earth. Akevan de Chazalik pidu v'amru de bayne itza yud pamim niragam bezetzarach yud pamim dehainu sheyachlif es a steel wool bechol pam yishavshev yud pamim. Since there was a hakpada of 10 times, right? So you should rub the steel wool over it 10 times, replacing it each time, says the Papa Rav. Okay, near Lanias Daiti Shiyachtov, Shemishadar Mako Shino, it's Bakarka Kush Yud Pam Yasakane, Umishadar Mako Shaino Mako Maskos Kane, Yashav Shafena Yud Pamim, the steel wool, the Achlif, the whole palm. Do it 10 times in steel wool, change it each time. I don't even know if we, I think that it may be that we don't even have to worry about it now that we have abrasive powder. Right? It may be that we might even be able to eat more makel than that, but steel wool. So clearly he said steel wool, as long as it's something that is abrasive, right, that replicates that motion, right, it seems to be, at least in his application, it seems to be something that would be valid for the purpose, for our purpose. So we see, so...
You said something about changing.
He says that you should change it each time because you can't stab it in the...
cases it's steel wool.
Right.
If you were stabbing the grass, you have to stab it in a different place each time. The same thing. If you're using the steel wool, you have to have a different piece of steel wool.
That's correct. You could. That's right. That's right. That's right. So this is
the solution is to keep your knives that you use for bread.
Right, this
and not to make it milky or translation. As a matter of fact, this bread is milky.
It's
baked in a different
shape. You have a problem, right, there are other problems with that. We'll talk about, we won't talk about that. But that's, sorry?
Chicken.
So let's, that concludes. So now that we've done a kind of gone through the whole topic of ne'itza, of the stabbing, we see how it's possible that people began to make a mistake about it and began to bury dishes because there is ground involved, right? So they probably misunderstood the purpose of the ground. They misunderstood the scope of the application that it applies to knives specifically, and they misunderstood the repetitive motion, and that's how this thing began to be passed down, that they misunderstood the specific instance to which it applies, which is cold, right? Cold dishes. So now we understand this. We know how people made the mistake, and we're not going to bury our treif dishes in potted plants in the corner. But this is the first of the common halachic myths. Just to give you a little bit of a sense of the other things that we're going to be. Yes, go ahead.
Common.
If we drag ourselves kicking and screaming into the 21st century. You have high-tech ceramic knives, which are harder and sharper than metal knives.
Yeah, it's about the schmutz that's on it. It's not about what it's made of.
Theoretically, it's ceramic, which could be a china dish. But we're talking about something that's made in the shape of a blade and with the force of a blade. And that, yes, it can shatter, but if you don't, throw it on a hard stone floor, it's going to perform, by people who have told me that they've used them, better than a steel blade.
So it's not so much about what the blade is made out of, it's about the function that it serves. That's what we're talking about.
Is it just knives and forks and silverware?
It's knives. It's knives.
It's no forks and silver, no forks matter. No,
what about steel wool on the fork?
Wait, no, this is a serious question, because the reason I came to this, it made you laugh last week. I had a friend over, she took the wrong, I think it was fork, felt so bad, because she's not Jewish, and she just felt like she ruined my whole half. Oh, don't worry about it, I took it out. So I stuck it in the plant.
You really did.
Yeah, and then I saw this in shul, and I started laughing, so I was like, oops, 12 years of yeshiva, I thought that covered it. So here's my question. Somebody comes over, they take the wrong spoon.
Yeah, to do what?
They take the wrong spoon, they take a plate of food, and they put it into coffee. Hot milk coffee. Throw the spoon away.
No, you could kosher the spoon.
Put it on top.
Or kosher the spoon. Yeah. I mean, there are many. There are many. We could talk about how you use the spoon in the past.
But what's the worst case scenario? Dairy spoon.
You cannot drink the coffee.
Yeah. You can drink the coffee, and you should kosher the spoon.
But you just bottom line, you kosher it.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on whether the spoon, if there are handles, you can't cross it. So then you can kosher it. Now, just to give you a sense of some of the other halachic myths that we are going to be covering, has anybody ever been on a flight and you get the meal and it says you don't have to wash for these rolls, they are mizonos? That is next week's halachic myth.
Why do you call it a myth? It was like, it didn't